I'm even more thirsted now. Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for praying for me. Even I have been kind of nervous, I can really sense that there is someone praying for me, and thank you so much for that. This morning we talked about two passages, one from Romans chapter 4 and one from Galatians chapter 4. And I just want to repeat a little bit from Galatians chapter 4. Paul was talking about here two different kind of births. Birth according to the flesh and birth according to the spirit. And hopefully everybody here is born by the Spirit. I hope so. But only Lord know, probably. I know that, especially when you are at the age that you go from being a child to an adult, there can be a time that for many they really don't know if they are saved or not. And so I just want to read two verses from Galatians chapter 4. Before we go into something else. Galatians chapter 4. And, well, let's read verse 29. I think that's enough. Galatians 4:29, but as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, even so it is now. It talks about a persecution here. We know there are Christians who are persecuted in many countries, but there are degrees. There are degrees of persecution, and that can happen, you know, in our country, in Norway, and it can happen in Canada too. Even if it's not real hard persecution, but the thing is that a person who is born according to the flesh, he has a different view on things. He sees things differently than one who is born according to the Spirit. So what is this two births? Maybe someone wasn't here, I guess, this morning. Well, I took Jehovah's Witness as an example. A person who is having a study with witnesses, there's a change. Suddenly they stop doing this, and there's a change going on. But it's not by the Holy Spirit. It is by another kind of birth, a birth of the flesh. It's something that they find out that now I want to be a good person. And they try their best to be a good person. And outward, they look just fine. And they can cheat or they can trick both others and themselves. But the Lord, he knows the heart. He knows everybody's heart. And unless there is a change in the heart, there is no new birth. So that's why it is good for everyone to when we read that verse to test ourselves. Steve, he mentioned on Wednesday Judas Iscariot and Peter. And he compared them. And what was wrong with Judas? Well, we know it was the beginning that was wrong. Judas never ceased to be a Christian. He wasn't a Christian ever. No, he was never a Christian. The Lord said, "Have I not chosen all of you, and one is a devil?" So there was something wrong with the beginning. We know that a person who is saved, he will remain saved forever. The Lord will never forsake us. And that's what my next point. I want to read a few verses that talks about eternal security. I want to start in John chapter 6. And we'll read. All of this is well known, of course. So this is, I think a review for most of you. But the Word of God is, it is always new to us. So it's good to remind each other about this. John 6:37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. So this means that if we once came to the Lord and believed in him, we can know for sure he will never leave us nor forsake us. He is faithful. And 2 Timothy 2:13. Let's go to that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. Well, let's read verse 12 and 13. 2 Timothy chapter 2. If we endure, we shall also reign. No, let's read 11. This is a faithful saying. For if we die with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Didn't really look like eternal security, right? But what is it he will deny? It is not salvation he will deny. It's more like wages. And then, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. If we are faithless. So, it's against God's nature to be unfaithful. He is faithful. Now, let's flip back to John chapter 10. Again, well-known verses. John chapter 10. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. It doesn't say temporary life. It says eternal. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So here we have the Father holding one hand, and the Lord Jesus the other one. Now let's read Romans chapter 8, a few verses there. Romans chapter 8. And we start from verse 31. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yeah, we'll go to 1 John 2. There's some wonderful verses in 1 John. We have an advocate. If you have been in a court case, you know how important it is with a good advocate, a lawyer. And that's what we have in Lord Jesus. He is our advocate. So in the first chapter here of 1 John, he's talking about sin. And verse 9 there, chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. By confessing. There's something happening when we confess sins to the Lord. We start to hate it. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So, that in itself, if that's the only verse we have in the Bible about eternal security, that will be enough. We have the Lord, and he's praying for us, and he's speaking for us in heaven. And that's a wonderful truth. Now, my last point here. Secure. So what? I don't know about you, but me, sometimes I'm lukewarm. And how can I become warm, a warm Christian? How can I be in fire for the Lord? We remember those in Luke 24. Well, what was the reason why they had a burning heart? Well, the scripture was open to them. And I think that's the key for us too. That the Holy Spirit can open up the scriptures, that we can see the wonderful thing of his law. And since we spoke about here about eternal security, there is one verse. Well, it speaks about the grace. 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy 2 and verse 1. Excuse me. We know that the Timothy here was Paul's spiritual son. And Timothy had a Jewish mother and a Greek father. And It was probably Paul who led him to Christ, or at least to a deeper understanding of the truth of the gospel. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, this is opposite to what we normally think, because we'll say, well, we need commandments, we need rules, you know, we need so that we can do this and do this, don't do this. But here it says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, which means we need grace. Yeah, we need grace. And John chapter 1 tells something about grace. John chapter 1, verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. There are many who has that name, Grace. It's a nice name, very nice name. But I haven't heard about anybody called or given the name Truth. And who dare to call their daughter Truth. We know we are all sinners, right? Yeah, there is not one who has not sinned. And it's only one who is good, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, Moses, he came with the law. The law was given through him. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now we have looked at the grace. And eternal security is part of the grace. And in Norway, that truth is held back. And it was a change in my life when I got to hear this truth. Yeah, the Bible became new for me. Yeah. So this is so important that we are grounded in this truth, eternal security. And if you doubt, you need to study that to find out, because it will affect our walk with the Lord a lot. If we see that truth, it's so important for us. So, truth came through Jesus Christ, grace and truth. Now, the grace is, we understand, what is that? What is the truth? Well, there is a lot. Pilate asked, what is truth? And we know the Lord Jesus, he is the truth. Every word that comes from his mouth is truth. God cannot lie. How wonderful it is we have this word of God that we can trust fully. God can never lie. If he say that we are saved by grace, saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we can trust him. How wonderful. Now, the truth. Well, I said secure in Christ. So what? What next? How can that affect us and our walk? Those who are against that teaching of eternal security, they will say, well, so then you can do what you want. Because, oh, you get saved anyway, so, well, what is it we want? If we have received the Holy Spirit, we are born again, what do we want? We want to please the Lord. Yeah, but we have the old sinful nature, and these are fighting each other, against each other. That's the Christian life. There's a fight between the old sinful nature and the new nature. So, well, some of the truth is that there is going to be a judgment day for believers. the judgment seat of Christ. It's not the great white throne. The great white throne will be after the thousand-year kingdom, and only unsaved will be there. But the judgment seat of Christ is right after the rapture, and we will be before the judgment seat of Christ. Only saved people will be there, and that's a time to receive or to lose wages. And that's the truth. That's part of the truth. And we need to hear that. We need to encourage each other about that truth, that our life matters. How we live our life, it really matters, because there will be a day. The Lord is righteous. He's going to reward us for what we do for Him. So our life really matters. It does. Now, let's say if we knew the Lord was coming tomorrow, 12 o'clock, how will that affect our life today? That's a tough question for all of us, including me, right? Yeah, how will that affect us? If we knew the Lord was coming tomorrow at 12 o'clock, and then I want to say, let's go to Matthew 9. There is something that is important for us to believe. There is a reason why the Lord didn't take us home the day we were saved. There's a reason why we are left here. It's because we are His ambassadors. Ambassadors for Christ. Matthew 9:38. Let's read 37. Matthew 9:37. Well, we back up one more verse. 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. Yeah, the Lord was moved with compassion. Why? Because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. And there is lots of those today. You don't have to go to Africa to find them. You don't have to go to Russia to find them. Someone has a sign on their door, "You are now entering the mission field." When they walk out of the house, that's the mission field. And there is lots of people in Canada and in Norway, lots of religious people who think they are saved, but they're not saved. And some are saved, but in bondage. And some know they are not saved, and they are not saved. So there's a need. 37. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but..." What's the problem here? There's a huge harvest. What's the problem? Well, the problem is the workers, the laborers are few. That's the problem. So, now, 38. This is something for all of us. "Therefore, pray that the Lord of the harvest..." Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So that's something we should be more thinking of doing every day, praying for laborers, that God will send them out. And, you know, it says here that the Lord of the harvest to send out. That word there, "send out," it is just the same Greek word that is used by "cast out." When it's talking about casting out demons, the same Greek word. So I have thought sometimes, sometimes the Lord cast out people. But don't misunderstand me now. But there can be circumstances in our life, so we stop thinking, and we stop and we think, and the Lord get our attention, so we see clear things more clear, and then He adjusts our course. No, I want you to go this way. This is what I have for you. So we should be praying for workers. And as I said, not only abroad, but here. We were with John and Salida this afternoon for lunch, and John told me, and also Salida, about how it was for them to when they left the Mennonite church, and it was very interesting. And then it was John Martin and one more, I forgot his name.
Alan Weber.
Alan Weber, yeah. And I was interesting to know, how did they get in touch with John and Salida? And well, there was Bible studies, so they were invited for Bible study, and through that they were saved. So, I think that's something which is important, that we can arrange that, and so people can be, you know, we can talk with each other. We need to come here for you know, the breaking of bread, to remember the Lord, to sing together, pray together. Yes, but it's also good that we can, if there's a neighbor that we, the Lord lead us to, you know, invite him and share the gospel with him. Let's say if you have a little group and 3, 4, 5 people, and that can be a change in their life. Okay, I have probably like 15 minutes left, so I should now tell a little bit about the work in Norway. If you can, we have this Bible study that is going on. And now it is on Sundays, and I don't know if you want to turn off the light a little bit. And where should I stand so that if I move here, huh? Okay. So this was taken just before we left. And I'd like to introduce you to some of them so that you can be praying for these people. Now, this is Sigur, our son-in-law. It was Esther who took this picture. And then we have Brother Paul. He's from Congo. His wife wasn't there. She comes sometimes. She's working as as a nursing aide. And he newly got his driver license for driving a bus, so he will be start driving bus. So when they came, they didn't have any driver license. Now that he can drive a bus. And this is his daughter. This is Daniela. She's 8, I believe. And this is Blessing, Evelyn and me here. And Yasu, he's from Eritrea. he got saved in Eritrea. He was in 18 months in jail in Eritrea because of he was an evangelical Christian. And so he came to Norway, I believe now it's like 7, 8 years ago, and he have not met his family since he left. And he need to have an income of like 300,000 crowns, that's about $50,000, before he can have his family to come to Norway. Now, finally, he has reached that wages, so he hoped to have his family coming to Norway. This is Oscar, he's brother of Paul. He is a single man, and he's the one who used to interpret when we do it in English. If there's a new one coming, then I preach in English and Oscar translate to Swahili. These three men, Paul, Yasu, and Oscar, they have been coming since February, March, almost now it's 3.5 years ago, soon 4 years ago. So we have seen that the Lord has done work in their heart. We have seen that. So that's very encouraging to see that the Lord is, that's Beth. Her husband wasn't here. He was buying a car that day, so he didn't come. But they are, husband, he has a background from a Seventh-day Adventist church in Africa. They just came a month ago, but they speak pretty good English. And they have two kids who is albino. This one and this one. This is David. This name is difficult. I have to look on my cell phone to pronounce that. And then they have one daughter here, Vanessa. And there is two others have used to come. They are single, they're divorced. And they are not here, this picture. I can flip the next one here. You see here. Well, this is, we used to start with a half an hour Bible study for the kids. So then I speak, to the kids, and the adults, they listen to as well, so they get it too. These two, Daniela, we used this chronological pictures that we got at New Tribes, and when we came to the baptism of John the Baptist, baptizing Jesus, then when she was saying, well, when can I be baptized? And I told her, well, you will have to talk with your dad about that. But we have seen a change in their life too. And when we asked them if they believe, they believe very much, she said. I believe very much. So it's encouraging. Okay, let me see. Is this a video? Is there sound? Yeah, it was just a short singing a Swahili song. It was just a very short. You can take it one more time, maybe. Yeah, I should have taken more. It was just short. Okay, let's go to next. Let me see here. Okay, well, this picture wasn't very good. But I showed you this last May when I was here in a Wednesday night prayer meeting. And the reason why I show it now again, well, there was some who wasn't there, but now I can't back it up. I talked to Philip just before I left, and he has been struggling a bit. Philip on the left there with the black T-shirt, he got saved a couple years ago. He came with another one from Eritrea. He came to our house, and we had Bible studies for like 3-4 days, and then we were sitting around him many and talk about the Lord, and then we just almost bombarded him with Bible verses, and then suddenly he fell on his knees and he prayed the Lord to forgive him, and he got saved. I have never seen like that before, and it was just the Lord who did that. And he really wanted to try to build an assembly up in Trondheim where he lives. And then this is Kjell Martin, and they brought him, and we had Bible studies with him, and he wanted to be baptized. And also this one is Alec. He's from Eritrea, and they baptized him too, not the same time, another time. So all three of them were baptized there, like half an hour from where we live. And so they meet together once a week, or sometimes two times a week. But Philip here, he's actually from Poland, but he have lived in Norway since he was 12 years old. And I told him that, well, I'm going to Canada now. Is it okay? I tell the believers there that they can be praying for you. And he said, thank you so much. I really appreciate that, he said, because he had been struggling. He's much alone. Doctrine-wise, I mean, he's struggling with, there are so many different views, and these two are pretty new, but yeah. And he really feels he wants to do something for the Lord. So, Philip, that's his name. This is Kjell Martin. This is Alec, short for Alexander. Just want to mention that. So if you remember this, up in Trondheim, that's like 5-6 hours drive. We have been there up a few times, and Lord willing, we'd like to go there again sometime in the spring. They might come down here, a few of them, down to Ålesund. So, okay. You can just turn on the light again. We have 5 minutes left. I want to say something about a book I have mentioned a lot of times before. And I want to say a little bit about the background for that. In 2008, there was a man who came to our workshop, and he wanted to get a starter fix. And then he asked me, are you religious? And I said, well, I'm a Christian. How about you? Well, I go to church sometimes, he said. But my son is very religious, he said. And so I fixed his starters, and then I drove down there to visit him, Anders. And we started a Bible study. And there was two, three other neighbors who came for a while. Then another one came, Fritjof, and he said he was saved. But one day, after we had a Bible study, he went home, and then something happened. He was laying down in the bed, and he said he was bathed by the Holy Spirit. That's how he expressed it. I think he got saved there at home. And so now these two, Fritjof and Anders, they had different kind of view of baptism. Anders, he has a Lutheran background, and he said that, well, I think I got saved when I was baptized as an infant. That's the Lutheran. While Fritjof, on the other hand, Jake, remember him, he was at one time, Fritjof said that, well, there's no need for us to baptize because we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. So this was in 2012, and then I started to write this book about baptism, and I worked on that, and it was almost done. And in January 2014, our house burned down, and I didn't have any backup, so I lost it. So, was it not the Lord's will, after all, that I should write this? Well, I didn't have peace to leave it, so I started writing over all over again. And this time I included also baptism by the Holy Spirit and tongues. Now, it took a while, and I wanted to have it someone over in Canada and U.S. to check the doctrine of the book, because I hate to send out something which is not according to the Bible. So I sent it to Nelson, and I sent it to Chet Plimpton and to Randy Amos. And all three of them have comments, but different kind of comments. That was wonderful to see, different gifts. And I did some correction. I remember Nelson, he said, I was a bit hard on some of these wealth and health preachers. So I adjusted that a little bit. And, after that, we got... I sent it to... for printing, you know. And they said that, well... After it took a whole year before I got the answer, they said, "Well, it's a good book, but this is not the kind of book that we want to print." So I sent it to another printer, and they I didn't hear anything from them. So then I decided I want to just to get it printed myself. To be our own publisher, so we got it checked, spell checked, and set up ready for printing. And then, so in November, it was finally printed. And I brought some books with me. It's a book 178 pages. I have a few copies with me, and that's our son, John, as we was modeling here. So we copied 500 English books, and we printed the 500 in Norwegian. And I want to say thank you so much for the support of printing this book and for praying for us, for the Lord's work in Norway. It means a lot to us to know we have a body of believers here in Canada who stay behind us and pray for us. And we're so thankful for that. I show you Brother Yasu. When I gave this book to them... By the way, one of the first who got this book was Anders and Fritjof. That really was the meaning why I started to write it. But when I gave a book to Yasu, his gift is discernment. He's strong on doctrine. When I gave him the book, he flipped through it and then he said, "Can I translate this book into Tigrinya?" That's the language in Eritrea. And I was happy to hear that. And then he also speaks fluently Amharic. That's the language in Ethiopia, because he lived in Ethiopia as well. So I know he's very busy, because he needs to have a certain income in order to have his family come. So he takes a lot of work. He's working a lot. But if you want to pray for him, that this is something the Lord wants him to do, that he can... He can have the strength to do that work. I know that in Africa there is a really need for a book like that. Not because I wrote it. If there's probably other books which is a lot more better than this, but there is a lot of confusion in Africa among these things. No way. These health and wealth preachers, they go down and they gathered 100,000 people and it's wolves in sheep clothing. So I think it's important. Okay, my time is gone now, so I'm going to just close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love to us. We thank you that we can trust you fully and your word, that what you say we can always rely on. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that When you said, "It is finished," then you meant what you said. There is nothing more for us to do in order to be righteous before God. It's only a gift. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are faithful, even we are faithless. And Lord, we pray for this assembly now. We pray for those you want to use in a special way, either here locally to reach out to religious people here who live in bondage, unsaved people, or even to go abroad. Father, we pray that you will speak to each one's heart. And we know that it's not everybody who should go abroad. It's not everybody, but there's those who you send, Father, either here or there. And we pray for that. We pray for laborers in this place. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the fellowship we have in you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.